Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you and welcome. I appreciate you being with us today. My guest is Amy Beheimer. She is a pharmacist, she is a wellness coach, and she is an MS patient, all wrapped into one amazing package. She is from Georgia, and I believe is a millennial, and I am delighted to welcome her to the podcast. Amy, thanks for being with me.
Thank you so much. I've never had millennial added to an introduction, and it's interesting. I'm an 84 baby. And so I don't know. I think a lot of us in the early 80s somehow resist that label for some reason. But you're right. Whenever they tag a millennial, I seem to understand what they're talking about. So yes.
Yep. So I explain this often on the podcast, and I don't want to make anybody say exactly how old they are unless they feel that they would like to. But I feel like millennials look at things differently than baby boomers, and Gen Z definitely looks at things differently than Gen X. And so just giving folks a framework of approximately where you're coming from will shine a little bit of insight into your perspective and kind of how you view things. So
I love it. I'm turning 40 this year. So I think that I'm a little more boisterous and proud. So
fantastic. And you're doing an amazing job of it. Let's start with the easy one, and that is, can you please tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare?
Absolutely. So, I first and foremost for healthcare, I identify, I've been a pharmacist the longest. So almost 20 years I've been working at a large healthcare organization on the inpatient side, and went to pharmacy school at University of Georgia, and just really have loved that as a career, as a profession. What ended up happening, I was diagnosed with my first autoimmune disease in my teens, my second in my 20s, a third, and then a fourth also in my late 20s. And so along this journey, I really realized something is not right with the way my body is responding to the environment and the world around me. Something is asking for my attention. And so, going on 5-6 years ago is when I really went back to school for training in both functional medicine and health and wellness coaching, and really just digging into behavior change and why it can feel so darn hard to change and make the most of our lifestyle, which is such a huge contributor to not only the diagnosis of autoimmune diseases, but also the progression. So I have these three lenses. I have my conventional medicine, PharmD. I have my coach hat. And then, of course, I am a patient as well.
Okay. So it's interesting. You try and you're bringing all of this together. Pharmacology and kind of lifestyle and behavior don't often play well together in the same sandbox, because pharmacology sometimes gets the label of like, take this medication and this is the be all and end all and solve your problems and move forward from there. But it sounds to me like your own personal journey brought you to an experience where you said, what I'm getting from this world isn't enough. There needs to be some other elements brought into it. Am I properly summarizing your story?
You are. And I love that you are kind of calling out that these things can sometimes be pitted against each other. You'll hear sometimes people say, I'm treating my MS or my disease naturally, and kind of excluding that may mean taking a medication. And so what I really try to provide for people I work with is a space for the synergy that can exist between the two. It's not an either or. And so for me, I consider that I do treat my body, my autoimmune disease, my MS naturally, and I take a medication, a disease-modifying medication for my multiple sclerosis. And so I really love to provide the space where those two things can coexist and we can get the best of both worlds.
And so you're the Hannah Montana of medicine, where you're getting the best of both worlds. And rightfully so. I think you bring a unique viewpoint with that. So wonderful. What does quality healthcare mean to you?
Quality healthcare to me really is taking the whole person into account, the whole body, the whole brain. You know, working in a hospital and rounding with physicians very early on, there's this mentality of the nephrologist comes in to take care of the kidneys, the infectious disease doctor comes in to take care of the infection, and there really needs to be a captain of the ship. And oftentimes, especially with chronic illnesses, that captain has to be the patient and it has to be us. Or, you know, it takes what I say, assembling your team for support. And so, yes, your physician has a role. Maybe depending on your situation, maybe it's a physical therapist, maybe it is a pharmacist that helps you understand medications. You know, I, of course, am biased, and I think that everybody has a role for a coach as well to really help bring it all together and help you actually carry through all these great recommendations that the experts have, as well as learn to listen to yourself and figure out what's right for you. So quality healthcare really is that holistic approach.
Okay, talk to me about this, okay? Because you're having the patient as the captain of the boat. They're the one that has to be, my analogy is the hub of the wheel. Everything kind of flows through them. And yet sometimes they are not treated as an equal part of the team. So the doctor is pushing this way, the therapist is pulling that way, the different specialties are all kind of moving in their own direction, and the patient is not listened to, and the patient is not valued as an equal part of the team. What's your reaction and thought to that?
I think that that exists all the time. I hear from my clients, people I work with, that they experience that. And so one thing that I often do with people is we come up before you are heading into, let's say, a doctor's appointment that maybe there's some nerves around, or maybe you felt that you haven't been heard in the past. And I love to kind of walk through what that would look like to say, this is what you can expect from me as your patient. And get really clear and share. I'm going to ask questions because I want to understand. You know, I may ask you to slow down. I may, you know, I do try to educate myself or whatever these things that, what do you want your doctor to know about you as a patient? And then turn it around and say, you know, and this is potentially what I am looking for from you. And really that bravery to say, it's not always a match. Sometimes, you know, if we are, you know, setting very reasonable, clear expectations and requests from our team, and it's still met with what seems like a, you know, like it's not validated and like you're not heard, then
Right.
sometimes that may mean let's go find somebody who there where there is a better match.
Yeah, and sadly, I think sometimes insurance
Yes.
creates a problem there, where this is the doctor that you see, this is the one that's approved, and it's not about compatibility, it's about availability. And the other thing, I love what you said about here's what I want you to know about me. And I'll say this for my listeners, you know this. If you're listening to the patient interviews that I've done that we're re-releasing, one of the questions that was asked to every patient was, what do you wish your medical providers understood about you? And it's
Love that.
that exact idea to say, they get me, I'm able to explain, but here's something that they're just missing. And I think that's a great concept to lay out there.
And you're so right. Insurance and sometimes geography really does limit what we're able to do. And so I don't want to be insensitive to the fact that it's not always easy just to pick up and find another provider, but really like looking at who's on your team. And, some people may list out, they may say, well, I want my doctor to be empathetic. And let's say we have a really great doctor and empathy may not be their strong suit. Who else on that team could you get empathy from? Who else could listen? And kind of broadening that, in relationships, it's kind of the same idea of not expecting everything from one person, let's say, whether it's a spouse or a partner. And in the same way, if we assemble this team that is going to be with us for life with some of these chronic diagnoses, then how can we go to others and kind of fill our bucket for what we need?
Yeah, I love it, the idea of saying there are certain things that I must get from my physician, okay? The expertise, the ability to write scripts, the ability to make referrals, those are must-haves. I would like to get empathy, but if I'm not getting empathy from my physician, let's see who else on the team can provide that. What a great idea. Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
So I'm going to stay in the, my lifestyle medicine world. And I have a framework, and it's also the name of my podcast, The Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health. You said hub, so we obviously are speaking the same language. And I'm using it as an example of quality healthcare when we are calling healthcare this, the part that we can control, the environment, our lifestyle. And the hub is so amazing because of the balance. If we super focus on one area, then it's going to make for a very uneven ride on with that hub. And so I speak from just my personal experience. I spent years so hyper focused on, well, it's the food I'm eating. So I need to get this right and it needs to be the best quality. And if I, when I backed up, and this is before I really had this framework and had this understanding, I was sacrificing in the connection spoke of the habit hub because I wasn't going out to eat with loved ones. Or let's say I needed to move, I have to get up, before work to make sure I get my exercise in. Well, the rest and relaxation spoke really would take a hit. And the top spoke of all of these is mindset matters. And you cannot, outrun a crappy mindset when it comes to all these things that we're doing. That's really the inner work. So, a shameless self-promotion of the hub, just because it does, the Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health really does, it's really the framework that grounds me both for my own life as well as working with people to really see how it all fits together.
It's interesting to hear you say that because so many times we miss out on the social aspect of food. Food is not just something that we consume to keep our bodies moving. Sometimes it is, but at the same time, there is such a social element of it. As we sit down with our family, with our friends, and eat together, there's a fellowship. There's a connectedness that happens there. And when you have a different menu than everyone else, when you have a different eating habit than everyone else, it does make it difficult because there are limits on where you can go, and people won't have you over because they don't know what
They
to
don't know
cook for
what to
you, or
do. Yeah.
they don't want you to turn down their food, or you can't go because but anyway,
Yeah. No, I could go 4 hours on food as medicine, but you're exactly right. And I always say my vision one day is that when we say that we would never have to say I have food restrictions again, that the negative connotation of food restriction versus I'm feeding my body, these things that help it flourish and good quality fuel in, good quality fuel out. It's just a mindset shift and it's wild. I love that, people start to take notice when you're approaching food with that holistic view.
Okay. So we've got about 5 minutes and we've got three questions to go.
All right, let's do it.
So, what do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
I think we touched on a couple of them. The big thing is that there is such a synergy between, conventional medicine and lifestyle medicine, so we don't have to choose either or. I also think, science is so important. It helps us as a starting point on what is going to help our bodies thrive, But just as important is ourself, is trusting in ourselves and making sure we balance that too. And one more, just to squeeze it in, is really the importance of the inner work of health, how we're believing about it, how we're thinking about it, is just as important as the outer work, what we're doing and what we're not doing.
Okay. So it's inner size and exercise all wrapped up together, I
Love
guess.
that.
And yep.
I've never heard inner size. I'm gonna steal that one.
Yeah, it's not mine. I stole it from someone. I just saw an article about it maybe today or yesterday about inner
Inner
size. I thought, what
size.
a great idea.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it.
So, all right. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
It excites me that coaching is becoming more well known. It's getting supported in the literature. There are is research being done on the outcomes when people get the support of an outsider to come in and help you thrive, help you go from good to great, and help you really make change in a way that feels good and lasts. So I'm biased, but there is a new board certification, fairly new, a few years. There's about 10,000 board certified health and wellness coaches through the National Board of Health and Wellness Coaching. And that's exciting because it's going to put some standards behind it. And when people are getting a coach, they're going to know that they have the ability to help them and they really have the training to do so.
Okay, to me, and I want to get your reaction to this. To me, having a coach, the word I would use is empowerment. And I will back it up by saying this. To this point, when we talk about patient empowerment, many times it's got to be done on their own. So you've got to go do your own research. You're doing all of this digging. You're coordinating everything. You're strengthening yourself. You're putting yourself in a good position to be the hub, to be the, to have more power within the dynamic. And yet somebody you're on your own. And it sounds to me like the idea of a coach is somebody who's going to help empower the patient in the situation to stand for themselves, to be educated, and to kind of think through the process. How does that resonate with you?
I think you're nailing it. Empowerment and really enhancing self-efficacy, enhancing the belief in yourself that what you do matters, that the things you that you that are in your control can and will make a difference in how you think, how you feel, and absolutely how your body functions. So I think you nailed it.
What I did wonderful every now and then, Amy. I get one, and so good. All right, last question for you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
This one I'm passionate about. I will still get clients who come to me who say, my doctor said that what I eat doesn't matter or my lifestyle doesn't matter. And that still shocks me. So what I think that medical professionals can do is really, it's getting easier because the American Medical Association is now starting to publish the benefits of coaching as well. But I would say, not be afraid to recognize that's something that we can help with. And so refer out, really recommend, talk about the role that they can play. And I always say, like, imagine if you sent your patient out with these lifestyle recommendations that you know would do everybody good. And imagine if it was a done deal that they came back in and they were able to make progress towards them. I mean, what an amazing partnership opportunity that we have.
Okay, I'm curious about this because sometimes I feel as a society, we are not real interested in lifestyle change. We live in a world where we believe in big pharma to say, I want a pill to solve my problem. I don't want to have to make sacrifices. I don't want to have to make change. Just fix the problem and let me keep doing what I'm doing. How do you find the balance between that where practitioners are able to make those recommendations and the recommendations don't fall on deaf ears?
I think it's one person at a time because you're right. I can feel very overwhelmed when I look at how many people don't even know that a coach exists, or don't even know that they could feel better, or don't even realize that there is a different way, again, to help their bodies thrive. And to not get overwhelmed, we just look at the people in front of us, and we just, you know, it's a movement to shift this huge paradigm. And again, I hope to be a voice with others that it doesn't have to be either or. Let's take from science the wonderful things it's given us. It has given us so many amazing things, and I don't want to throw that stuff out. It's great, but these chronic diseases, there is a lot that we can avoid. There's a lot we can prevent. There's a lot of suffering that we can alleviate. And, you know, one person at a time, because when someone feels the difference with just one habit that maybe they've wanted to have their whole lives, I always say, what's your dream come true? Meaning, what have you always said? And a lot of times it's, I wish I ate healthier. I wish I moved more, whatever that is. You know, if we can, if they're curious enough to try a different way and feel the power of that progress, you know, then hopefully it's just a snowball effect from there.
Wonderful. Listen, Amy Beheimer, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you taking your time. I appreciate you, and I respect your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.